Welcome to News in Focus with your host, Chris Long, President of the Ohio Christian Alliance. Stay tuned for an analysis and conversation about the issues that matter most to you and your family. Here now with this week's edition of News in Focus is Chris Long.
And good afternoon and welcome to this Independence Day special of News in Focus. We're glad that you've joined us. In fact, we're going to be reading the Declaration of Independence together along with other founding documents of our country. A little later in the program, we'll also be reading the Gettysburg Address, as the 4th of July, as you remember, is not only, of course, our Independence Day, but the anniversary of the Battle of Gettysburg, for it was fought on July 1st, 2nd, and 3rd, and then on the 4th was a great victory, of course, for the North, as they defeated the southern advance of General Lee's armies heading into Pennsylvania, trying to sweep around and take Washington, but they were defeated on the hills of Gettysburg, Pennsylvania. And so on this day, we celebrate our independence. And John Adams said, "For our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate for the governance of any other." And so on this day, we do celebrate this great independence and, of course, thanking those who fought for our independence back during the Revolutionary War period. And, of course, those 56 signers of the Declaration of Independence pledging to each other their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor. It was actually a treasonous declaration that they were signing, because they were separating from Great Britain, and they were signing this indictment of the tyrant king, King George, and we're going to read that in just a few minutes. But we'd like to play for you, of course, on this Independence Day, God Bless America, by a lady who made it famous. Of course, it was written years earlier, but she made it famous back in the 40s, 50s, and as she raised war bonds for World War II, and that's Kate Smith's edition of God Bless America.
From
God Bless America. That is Kate Smith, and she is singing God Bless America. Well, today we're going to read the Declaration of Independence here on News in Focus. With me, joined on the phone, is Pastor Al, a board member of the Ohio Christian Alliance, and together we're going to read for you the unanimous Declaration of Independence. When in the course of human events it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another, and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitle them, a decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation. We hold these truths to be self-evident: that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed, that whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it, and to institute new government, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. Prudence indeed will dictate that governments long established should not be changed for light and transient causes, and accordingly all experience hath shown that mankind are more disposed to suffer while evils are sufferable than to right themselves by abolishing the form to which they are accustomed. But when a long train of abuses and usurpations, pursuing invariably the same object, evinces a design to reduce them under absolute despotism, it is the right, it is their duty, to throw off such government and to provide new guards for their future security. Such has been the patient sufferance of these colonies, and such is now necessity to which constrains them to alter their former system of government. The history of the present King of Great Britain, in his history of repeated injuries and usurpations, all having in direct object the establishment of an absolute tyranny of these states. To prove this, let facts be submitted to a candid world. Pastor Al.
He has refused his assent to laws the most wholesome and necessary for the public good. He has forbidden his governors to pass laws of immediate and pressing importance unless suspended in their operation till his assent should be obtained. And when so suspended, he has utterly neglected to attend to them. He has refused to pass other laws for the accommodation of large districts of people, unless those people would relinquish the right of representation in the legislature, a right inestimable to them and formidable to tyrants only. He has called together legislative bodies at places unusual, uncomfortable, and distant from the depository of their public records, for the sole purpose of fatiguing them into compliance with his measures. He has dissolved representative houses repeatedly for opposing with manly firmness his invasions on the rights of the people. He has refused for a long time after such dissolutions to cause others to be elected, whereby the legislative powers, incapable of annihilation, have returned to the people at large for their exercise, the state remaining in the meantime exposed to all the dangers of invasion from without and convulsions within. He has endeavored to prevent the population of these states, for that purpose obstructing the laws for naturalization of foreigners, refusing to pass others to encourage their migrations hither, and raising the conditions of new appropriations of lands. He has obstructed the administration of justice by refusing his assent to laws for establishing judiciary powers. He has made judges dependent on his will alone for the tenure of their offices and the amount and payment of their salaries.
He has erected a multitude of new offices and sent hither swarms of officers to harass our people and eat out their substance. He has kept among us in times of peace, standing armies without consent of our legislatures. He is affected to render the military independent and of superior to civil power. He has combined with others to subject us to a jurisdiction foreign to our Constitution and unacknowledged by our laws, giving his assent to their acts of pretended legislation, for quartering large bodies of armed troops among us, for protecting them by a mock trial from punishment for any murders which they should commit on the inhabitants of these states, for cutting off our trade with all parts of the world, for imposing taxes on us without consent, for depriving us in many cases of the benefits of trial by jury, for transporting us beyond seas to be tried for pretended offenses, for abolishing the free system of English laws in a neighboring province, establishing therein an arbitrary government and enlarging its boundaries so as to render it at once to example an example and fit instrument for introducing the same absolute rule in these colonies, for taking away our charters, abolishing our most valuable laws, and altering fundamental the forms of governments, for suspending our own legislatures and declaring themselves invested with power to legislate for us in all cases whatsoever. He has abdicated government here by declaring us out of his protection and waging war against us. He has plundered our seas, ravaged our coast, burnt our towns, and destroyed the lives of our people. He is at this time transporting large armies of foreign mercenaries to complete the works of death, desolation, and tyranny already begun with circumstances of cruelty and perfidy scarcely paralleled in the most barbarous ages and totally unworthy the head of a civilized nation. He has constrained our fellow citizens taken captive on the high seas to bear arms against their country, to become the executioners of their friends and brethren, or to fall themselves by their hands. He has excited domestic insurrections among us and has endeavored to bring on the inhabitants of our frontiers, the merciless Indian savages, whose known rule of warfare is an undistinguished destruction of all ages, sexes, and conditions. Pastor Al.
In every stage of these oppressions, we have petitioned for redress in the most humble terms. Our repeated petitions have been answered only by repeated injury. A prince whose character is thus marked by every act which may define a tyrant is unfit to be the ruler of a free people. Nor have we been wanting in attentions to our British brethren. We have warned them from time to time of attempts by their legislature to extend an unwarrantable jurisdiction over us. We have reminded them of the circumstances of our emigration and settlement here. We have appealed to their native justice and magnanimity, and we have conjured by them by the ties of our common kindred to disavow these usurpations, which would inevitably interrupt our connections and correspondence. They, too, have been deaf to the voice of justice and consanguinity. We must, therefore, acquiesce in the necessity which denounces our separation and hold them, as we hold the rest of mankind, enemies in war, in peace, friends.
We therefore, the representatives of the United States of America, in General Congress assembled, appealing to the Supreme Judge of the world for the rectitude of our intentions, do in the name and by authority of the good people of these colonies, solemnly publish and declare, these United Colonies are, and of a right ought to be, free and independent states, that they are absolved from all allegiance to the British Crown, and that all political connection between them and the state of Great Britain is and ought to be totally dissolved, and that as free and independent states, they have full power to levy war, conclude peace, contract alliances, establish commerce, and do all other acts and things which independent states may or right to do. And for the support of this declaration, with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. And that was signed by 56 of those patriots at what we now know as Independence Hall in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, on July of 1776. And just a number of days later, on July 9th, the Declaration of Independence was read aloud to the American troops under General George Washington. And after he had the Declaration of Independence read, he commissioned chaplains to minister to the troops, who were the ones indeed were fighting for our freedoms in the Revolutionary War. Well, that is the Declaration of Independence. And of course, you can hear Pastor Al, as we just read that, I could hear the fireworks going off in the background. Happy Independence Day, everyone. Well, it's a blessed thing, isn't it? It's a blessed document. And of course, we want our young people to hear this. And we hope that you had your children around the radio as we were reading. And you'll take opportunity as well to read the Declaration of Independence with your family today. And it's a great thing to do, to have people read around the table the Declaration of Independence. And you can actually obtain it on our website at ohioca.org, or just Google Ohio Christian Alliance. Or you can just Google the Declaration of Independence, print it off, and have folks read it around the table. Isn't that right, Pastor Al?
Oh, absolutely. And you know, one of the things that's amazing with technology today is everybody has access to it. You don't have to go to Washington, D.C. to see it.
That's right. In fact, I have gone to the National Archives and seen the Constitution, and it's really a joy actually to go there and to see the founding documents of our country. And of course, they were written on script that, you know, they have to make sure that these documents, the originals, you know, don't deteriorate over time. There was, of course, that movie that was made not too long ago, National Treasure. That was kind of fun. Of course, the whole purpose of that was to get these young people interested in the Declaration of Independence, our founding documents, and all that. I thought it was a neat movie that way. National Treasure. That was a lot of fun. But anyways, folks, really, in all seriousness, this is a wonderful time to celebrate with family and, of course, our friends, our neighbors, the great freedoms that we enjoy in this country. That really, that's why people were trying to get into this country, unfortunately, many of them illegally, rather than going through our immigration process. And we do welcome people from around the globe, as we have throughout our 200 and how many years has it been, Pastor?
Well, it's been since 1776.
Right. What is the year on that? So,
I defer the math to you.
That's right. So, you know, well, again, you know, and there's a great celebration in Washington, of course, today. President Trump is, you know, giving a speech there. And, of course, there's a great gathering. There's going to be tremendous fireworks in Washington and a lot of celebration in our nation's capital. And that was great. In fact, I think it was a military display as well. There's kind of a, you know, some ado with that, about that, actually. But we've had it in times past. We've had military display. And of course, you know, I was listening to one radio host who said, you know, when we think about giving out the, you know, the Nobel Peace Prize, it should be the U.S. military. When you stop and think about it, the U.S. military has ceased wars and have affected peace around the world and trying to bring tranquility around, you know, the globe on many fronts and in many wars at the cost of great sacrifice and blood and treasure that our country has spent for really peace. And I thought that was an interesting take. It's the opposite of what we hear from the far left. They actually ridicule our nation. They ridicule its founding. They ridicule our military, when actually we have a military that doesn't seek for conquest. They seek to liberate. They seek to end conquest, just as FDR said in his D-Day prayer. That's why we want this prayer to be added at the World War II Memorial, the D-Day Prayer Project. We'll be talking about that in weeks to come. We'll have some great updates for you with a temporary prayer plaque placement there at the World War II Memorial. But, Pastor, that's really what it's all about. It's about celebrating the wonderful freedoms we have in this country. Isn't that right?
You're absolutely right. And, Chris, as you were talking about the military, U.S. military, and deserving of a peace prize, Think about it. The first half of the 20th century, there were two world wars fought in Europe. And it was after the second one that the U.S. military took up a permanent resident in Europe. And there's not been a war there since. And the same thing with North and South Korea. The presence of the U.S. military again there has prevented the armed conflict from breaking out again. And you couldn't be more right with that. I appreciate you bringing that out.
Well, that's right. And, you know, and that's why we really, I think that's what President Trump is wanting to do, is to celebrate our military and our men and women who serve in the armed forces, and to thank them for their service. And really, that's who we are in this country, and celebrating that liberty. Well, folks, look, we have a great book to give away to you. It's called America's God and Country, from our friend, author and historian Bill Fetter. And if you'd be the third caller at 330-887-1922, we'll send out to you Bill Fetter's book, America's God and Country, an encyclopedia of quotations from our founders. It's a great work. In fact, it has over 600,000 copies that were sold, and we'll send that out to you. If you're number three caller at 330-887-1922. And we're also going to throw in David Barton's Church and State, Separation of Church and State, What the Founders Meant. Actually, and it's a little booklet by David Barton, who actually is going to be our Fall Freedom Banquet speaker in Columbus, and we'll have details on our website about that. David Barton is coming to Ohio with the Ohio Christian Alliance on September the 27th, so mark your calendars to be with us in Columbus. We'll give you details in weeks to come, but just to make that breaking announcement that David Barton will be with the Ohio Christian Alliance for our Fall Freedom Banquet on September the 27th. Pastor, your thoughts on this Independence Day?
Well, you know, when we think about the cost, and certainly we're thankful to those serving today and those who have sacrificed, all the way back to the founding fathers, John Adams said, "You will never know how much it has cost my generation to preserve your freedom. I hope you will make good use of it." And, you know, that ought to be the desire of every American, to make use of this freedom and to recognize ultimately it's the hand of God that allowed this country to have and become the freest nation that's ever been on this earth. And we need to use those freedoms wisely for God's glory.
That's right. It was Patrick Henry, that great patriot, who said, "Give me liberty or give me death." Also said, "It cannot be emphasized too strongly or too often that this great nation was not founded by religionists, but by Christians, not on religion, but on the gospel of Jesus Christ." That tells you how much Christians had involved. In fact, 2/3 of the 56 signers of the Declaration of Independence were seminarians. They were actually people that had studied the scriptures for ministry. Well, folks, really, this is a wonderful day to celebrate. Stay with us on the other side. We're going to be joined by Pastor John Coates. Pastor Al's going to stay with us. We're going to continue this discussion on this special edition of News and Focus as we celebrate Independence Day. And if you missed any of today's program, you can always listen to it on the podcast at our website at ohioca.org, and also share it with a friend as well. And thank you for your support of this program. If you'd like to make a contribution, you could do it on our website at ohioca.org. Thanks a lot for listening, and stay with us on the other side as we continue with this Independence Day special.
Who's looking out for seniors today? It's not the AARP. AARP worked overtime to help pass Obamacare, the legislation that cut over $700 billion from Medicare. And AARP supports the death tax, which can rob families of over half their savings due to the death of a loved one. Seniors know that AARP would rather make millions peddling insurance products than support the policies that actually help America's elderly. That's why America's seniors count on the 60 Plus Association. For more than 20 years, 60 Plus has been fighting for the seniors that AARP has left behind. 60 Plus fought against Obamacare and continues to fight every day for its repeal in Washington. And 60 Plus is the leading national organization working to repeal the death tax once and for all, so that families can pass down their businesses and farms to the next generation, not the IRS. Stand up for your values. Join 60 Plus today. Visit 60plus.org or call 703-807-2070. This message paid for and authorized by the 60 Plus Association.
Almighty God, our sons, pride of our nation, this day have set upon a mighty endeavor, a struggle to preserve our republic, our religion, and our civilization, and to set free a suffering humanity.
And the soldiers who stormed the beaches of Normandy and the Allied liberation of Europe. On D-Day, all those warriors set out on their mission. President Franklin Delano Roosevelt led our nation in prayer.
The D-Day Prayer Project is an effort to add FDR's D-Day prayer in its entirety at the World War II Memorial in Washington, D.C. This wonderful historical presidential prayer will be a lasting tribute to our World War II veterans. If you'd like to make a contribution towards the effort of adding this prayer to the memorial, go to the website at ddayprayerproject.org. That's ddayprayerproject.org. And we're back, and we're continuing with this Independence Day special. We hope that you're enjoying the 4th of July with your family and friends, and that this is a day to celebrate. As John Adams said, that I believe that this day will be rivaled with along with Christmas, and a great day of celebration because of the Declaration of Independence and the birth of our nation, and that's what we're celebrating today. You know, I'm looking at the book America's God and Country by our good friend Bill Fetter, and I'm looking at this letter that John Adams wrote to Thomas Jefferson. You know, they continued correspondence throughout their lives, and actually 50 years to the day after the signing of the Declaration of Independence, that's when they died. And it was on July 4th, 50 years later, after 1776, both Thomas Jefferson and John Adams died on the same day, just hours from each other. And so they carried on a friendship throughout their lives. In fact, here's something that John Adams was writing to him. He says, without religion, this world would be something not fit to be mentioned in polite company, John Adams says. The most abandoned scoundrel that ever existed never yet wholly extinguished his conscience, and while conscience remains, there is some religion. That was John Adams in his correspondence with Thomas Jefferson that they kept up and their friendship for years to come. And it was a wonderful relationship. And of course, there's the HBO series from John McAuliffe's book, John Adams. And if you've never seen that, I encourage you to do so, either to read the book or to see the video series of John Adams, because it was very helpful in understanding the time period and, of course, the history behind it and the personalities of who those gentlemen were in the miracle of 76. And that's what we do call it, the miracle of 76, because prior to that, folks, there was nothing but kings and tyrants that ruled in nations. And then for the first time in a representative republic in America, the sovereign would be each one of us, that we rule and govern ourselves according to our conscience and the dictates of our hearts, and we were giving those liberties and responsibilities. Pastor John Coates is joining us. God bless you, Pastor. Welcome to the program.
And God bless you, Chris Long. You know, I was listening to the letter that you read from John Adams. It reminds me of some of the emails I received from you.
Oh, thank you, brother. Thanks, Pastor. And, you know, we're in that stage in our life that I think that that's what we're going to be doing more of. We're going to be doing more of pontificating and writing for the next generation at this juncture in our life and ministry. I was discussing that with my wife the other day, and actually looking forward to it for the next quarter. You know, sometimes people look and they get a certain age and they say, oh boy, it's, but actually I've seen some older men do some tremendous things in their life. In fact, their later years are some of the times of which they made the greatest accomplishments and contributions of their life. Your thoughts on that?
Oh, most definitely. And I believe that the men who run the world are in their late 70s and 80s, if not older. Why? Because you have wisdom. Wisdom and experience, and that's one reason why we should never throw our seniors away or discard them.
Amen. It's
because of the experience and the amount of wisdom that they have. They've been there and they've done that.
You know, I'm so glad you mentioned that, because I think of one of the older members of the Continental Congress, and a man who had great influence was Benjamin Franklin. And my daughter gave for me as a gift for Father's Day his autobiography of Benjamin Franklin. I really enjoyed reading that, because he's transparent upon his failures and challenges early on in his life, even with strivings with, you know, family and his brother, and some of the failures that he had. When we look at Benjamin Franklin, of course, we think of the inventor. We think of the great mind that he was, and the wisdom that he gave at key times during the Continental Congress, and even during the time in which they were putting the Constitution together. But that was all formulating of all those years when he was growing up, as it were, and becoming the man that he would be. You know what I like about also Benjamin Franklin? You know, when you think about an autobiography, he's kind of a guy who was meticulous. He didn't want to leave the writing or the telling to somebody else. He wanted to make sure the story was written right. So he wrote it himself, and that's what an autobiography is sometimes. But I think in his case, even more so. Your thoughts?
Oh, I absolutely agree with that. And it's, you know, Ben, when you think about the brilliance of the men of that age, you think about Franklin, you think about Jefferson, you know, you think about the American action figure of George Washington, and I think they set the example for us, is that it's important for us to memorialize our experiences and our thoughts. Is very important, because if we don't do so, then we risk we risk it being told by someone else inaccurately when we have the opportunity to do so ourselves.
Well, that's right. You know, one of the things I saw in the news, sometimes it happens in your own backyard and you have to read about it in the newspaper or somewhere else. New Philadelphia, Ohio, an atheist group was threatening a lawsuit against a school down there that had a Ten Commandment display since 1928. The class of 1928 had it posted there at the school, and this atheist group just simply threatens the school district, and they say, well, we can't afford this battle, and they pull it out. Well, actually, they should fight it. They could, for historical purposes, probably won that case. But it makes me think about the Ten Commandments itself, and the Fifth Commandment with promise is to honor your father and mother, that your days may be long upon earth. And, you know, when I think again about our founders, Ben Franklin, when I visited Boston, there is the grave of his parents. And, you know, when he went back there, you know, they were buried, and he thought, well, this isn't a nice enough marker. He raised the money, and he spent a very magnificent amount of money to give tribute to his parents, because that's what he's saying, is they meant so much to me in the making of the man. And so I think that's important. What does that tell us about our founders? I think it speaks of his character, and I wanted to see that, you know, gravesite. And to me, it touched my heart about the way that the man felt about his parents. And I thought about the Ten Commandments and what the scriptures declare in honoring our parents and honoring those who reared us. And that's all of what part of what who these men and women were that helped with the founding of our nation. Your thoughts?
Absolutely. And these men and women, they came to North America in order to find religious freedom. And they were willing to, you know, they struggled. They helped to build this country from nothing. And you mentioned when you visited Boston, you know, we have so many historic sites around this country. I think it's important that when you get the opportunity to experience yourself and maybe take your children or your grandchildren and go to Independence Hall in Philadelphia, go to Boston, go to New York, visit our nation's capital of Washington, D.C. In fact, there's many places around the country where there's still battlefields and forts. It's important to visit these sites, and you will immediately feel the sacredness of these spaces. I remember when walking into Independence Hall, it occurred to me that this is where these men argued and debated, and they came up with this this experiment called a democracy or a republic, and they hashed out an articles of the Federation, you know, that didn't work out, and then when they And then when they put together our second constitution, which is our present constitution, that it, the work and the debate that went into it, it was a labor of love and some good elbow grease and passion went into forming what we have now as the longest lasting democracy in world history.
That's exactly right. And when we were traveling to Boston this last time, you go through Hartford, Connecticut. Well, knowing it was one of the first colonies, I saw the downtown area. I thought, you know what? I'm going to head over there. And I took a ramp off and I went downtown. And what did I find? But Center Church, which was the first church of Hartford, Connecticut. And then I found a real treasure. I found a tribute to Frederick Douglass. It's where he gave, and it showed the portico. That was the church that gave him the first opportunity to give a public speech. And I thought that just blessed me when I thought of that. Frederick Douglass, the great abolitionist, prior to the Civil War and during the Civil War, who was constantly advising Lincoln, this man who was a slave that came out of slavery, was self-taught, an articulate man, a very wise and really a champion for us all. This is a man where when he was getting his first speaking engagements, this was the first church that gave him opportunity to make a public speech. And, you know, those are the things, folks, that you stumble upon. I didn't know it was there. You know, God kind of led me. It was one of those God things. And it's kind of like discovering treasures of history. But you got to put yourself in close proximity to some of these historical sites that will actually cause things to happen where you'll learn something, you'll see something that will really speak to you personally. And that's what history really is important that way, because then we have a connection to it. Pastor, your thoughts?
I am forever grateful to my parents because when I was growing up in the 1970s, they made it a point that as we approached the 4th of July, unlike Christmas, unlike Easter, unlike a birthday or Thanksgiving, we love to cook out and grill and do all that. But they made sure we understood, my sister and I, what understood what this day was all about. And as an African American, and I'm glad you brought up Frederick Douglass, they made us to understand that Frederick Douglass was a great man. And my mother would read for us Frederick Douglass's famous 4th of July speech, which is a speech that embraces the democracy of America, but yet challenges some of the hypocrisy that may exist as well.
Yes.
Our nation has worked through a lot of things. We're working through a lot of things, but yet we have survived in the midst of that, and this land is blessed. And all you have to do in order to discover that is go someplace else and visit. And then think back and then come back to America and realize what our infrastructure looks like. Realize the technology that we do have functioning. You know, people talk about the aging electric grid within our country. Well, you need to visit some of the electric grids in Europe and throughout Asia and Southeast Asia and Africa and South America in order to see how good our aging infrastructure is.
So, well, that's right. That's right. And we have it 7/24. Some countries, they have to turn on the power grid at certain times where your electricity is running, and then the rest of the day it's not, where it's intermittent. And we don't know anything like that in our lifetime. I'm 61 years of age next week, and, I've not known anything but light and heat and a roof over my head and roads to travel on and free access. And these were the things that were handed down to us. We should count our blessings in this nation. And that's what, God blesses the grateful heart. And, you know, if we're thankful for these things that, he smiles upon that. But if you grumble and complain when you have it so good, folks, beware, beware, because there is a judgment of these things when we think of the abject poverty that people live in worldwide, and that's why they're trying to get into this country. We would hopefully they could come in legally and go through the process of immigration, and Congress really needs to work on that problem. But you just can't come over our borders without due process. That's not how it works in any nation around the world, and much less the United States. It then becomes an invasion, and you just can't have that happening. And it's not just people from Central America. I was reading where there's people coming from the Middle East and Africa and all other nations hearing that there's free access to the United States through our southern border. But that's not the way it's to happen. And we need due process, and we need to invite people in through a civil immigration process. And so we need to pray, folks, that that's indeed is in the case. We've always been a welcoming nation, but at the same token, it has to be through laws, and it has to be through governance of the security of those nations, including the United States. Pastor, your thoughts?
A nation without borders isn't a nation anymore. And it's important that in our country we have established borders, and that we establish a legal way, and we do have a established legal way that people enter into our country. The way you come into America is not to wade across the Rio Grande River to risk your life or your children's life, making a dangerous journey through two or three countries in order to get into America. Who's promoting this? And for folks to give their children up, basically in their villages, and send their children, maybe accompanied by adults who don't even know them, no relationship to them, and no guarantee as to what would happen to these kids. And I would never do that. And that's for my daughter. I have a daughter. I would never just hand her over to somebody else and say, you know, good luck, you know, as you try to make it into America illegally. Mm. And for those that are here illegally, that their parents brought them over as children, I think they call them dreamers. My prayer is that Congress would act. You know, and I know the president has given them several opportunities to do so,
yes,
but to establish a pathway, a clear pathway of citizenship for people that are here, a pathway needs to be established, and Congress could do that, and they could have done it for many years, but has failed to do so. And I'm grateful that the president continuously extends that opportunity to take place. But yet, for some reason, they failed to do so, and then they create a narrative that makes it look like that those of us who support border security and support the stopping of gangs from coming into our country, human trafficking, additional human trafficking coming into our country, the flow of drugs from coming into our country, then it makes us look hard, cold, and callous. But you know, I'm concerned that person that is in Central America or South America, or wherever they are in the world, that they would realize that, hey, this isn't worth putting your life at risk for. There's a process, and Congress of the United States, put that process in place, and let's establish some order at the border.
Absolutely. Also with us on the phone is Pastor Al. Pastor Al, when we think about this on Independence Day and the due process of immigration into the United States, and obviously Congress is going to be looking at, hopefully, if not, we're going to be facing election where that indeed is going to be an issue. Your thoughts on that?
Well, I think what you guys have been saying about the desire of people to come in here speaks largely about the success of what these men back in the 1700s conceived and created with God's help, that they could produce a country that people would sacrifice so much to get into, to get their children into, to endure hardship, even risk death, to get into a country, even illegally, just to get here. Because this country is a beacon of freedom throughout the world, a beacon which people see that and they desire that freedom that we have that was purchased, you know, at the hands of our forefathers and is upheld by those in the military today, and also upheld by the average citizen that is a, you know, a participant in the process that we have, voting and campaigning and all of these things. And we as Christians ought to pray for this country, pray for our leaders, and pray that this freedom that we enjoy will be preserved.
John Adams, on that hot July day, on July 1st, 1776, speaking to his other attendees of the Continental Congress, when the question was before them of a declaration of independence, he said, "Before God, I believe the hour has come. My judgment approves this measure, and my whole heart is in it. All that I have, all that I am, and all that I hope in this life, I am now ready here to stake upon it. And I leave off as I began, that live or die, survive or perish, I am for the declaration. It is my living state sentiment, and by the blessing of God, it shall be my dying sentiment. Independence now, independence forever." And of course, as they signed that document, they were signing what would be considered a treasonous document by King George and the British, and their lives actually, as Ben Franklin says, will either hang separately or will hang together. And of course, many of them were tracked down by the British, and they were considered to be treasonous of the British Empire, but they were fighting for our independence for this very reason, for the posterity of those who would enjoy those liberties. Pastor John.
You know, I think of the words, the opening lines of the Declaration of Independence of Thomas Jefferson, when he says, "When in the course of human events it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another." I mean, he goes into this beautiful articulation. And, you know, there's some documents that you need to have in your home. And you need to have a copy of the United States Constitution in your house. You need to have a copy of the Declaration of Independence, and you can get these documents. You can order them over the internet. You can get them in your local bookstore, and these are important documents to expose your children to and to your community, because, you know, we really can't count on it necessarily being taught in the school system, unfortunately. And we have to take it upon ourselves to teach our families about the formation of this nation and to discuss it with our families and to discuss it in our communities and, yes, in our churches especially. You can't even turn the television on now and see a good movie. The movie 1776 used to play every 4th of July season, and you can't even find a good patriotic film on television because the networks refuse to play them.
Mm.
There's no good historical overviews anymore about all of these great swashbuckling personalities of our country's founding.
Yes.
So we can't count on that. So we have to do it ourselves.
But folks, if you would like a copy of the Constitution, we'll drop one in the mail to you. We have them at the Ohio Christian Alliance. And what I want you to do is just phone this number, leave us your address, your name and address. We'll mail out to you a Constitution of the United States along with the Declaration of Independence and a little booklet. And the number is 330-887-1922. Again, that's 330-887-1922. 1922. And if you'd like a copy of the Constitution with the Declaration of Independence, we'll send that out to you free of charge in the mail. Pastor Al, your thoughts on this Independence Day?
Well, I think that, you know, we're spending time celebrating and enjoying the holiday and all. And like you guys have been talking about, we need to take time with our children today. We need to take time with each other just to simply remember that God has given us such a gift such a tremendous gift, the freedoms that we enjoy, the freedom that we have to go to the church of our choice, to be on the radio today, the freedom of speech, and all of these freedoms that we have in this great country. And we so often take it for granted. We forget the great cost. And on this Independence Day, and my prayer is certainly that God would continue to bless America and our president and our leaders, but also that God's people across this country would take a moment today to just give thanks to God and praise him for the blessings that we have.
Amen. Closing thoughts, Pastor John Coates.
1 year ago today, I was in Paris, France, and I reflected on the streets of Paris that this is where Franklin and Jefferson came to study a democracy. And 243 years later, that French democracy didn't last, but the American democracy did.
Amen.
And do everything that we need to do in order to keep it going.
Pastor John, Pastor Al, thank you for joining me as we celebrate this Independence Day. God bless you both, my friends. And I know you feel as I do, just the pride about our freedom and our liberty and that which has been given unto us from those who went before us. Well, folks, thank you for listening today. I hope that this has been a blessing to you as it has been to us as we've read the Declaration of Independence and as we have discussed our liberties. God bless you and your families on this 4th of July, and death to tyrants, and let's celebrate the wonderful independence that we have. God bless you all. Thank you all for listening.
You have been listening to News in Focus with your host, Chris Long, president of the Ohio Christian Alliance. To learn more about the issues that matter most to you and your family, visit online at ohioca.org. That's ohioca.org. Thank you for listening. This program is sponsored by the Ohio Christian Alliance of Akron, Ohio.